Hi, this is Molly Poggles. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all of our daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit our website, lg4squared.com, lg, the number 4, square.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Barnabas Project. I'm Candace Smith, and today on the show, we have the Enneagram Sevens. Without honest, reflective introspection guided by the Holy Spirit of God through the illumination of the Word of God, we as humans can be ignorant of sin and other hindrances to our spiritual growth and usefulness for Christ. Hebrews 12:1 exhorts us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It is impossible to throw off hindrances and sin if we are unaware of them. Today, we will chat with two Enneagram Sevens who have learned to be honest, reflective, and introspective before God when everything in them cries out to avoid negative emotions. Type Sevens seek to explore new and compelling experiences and fulfill their passions. They often busy themselves planning the next adventure, at times to avoid the feeling of deprivation. They do not want to miss out on new experiences. They're also driven by their fear of feeling pain, which adds to the constant need to move and feel happiness. Type Sevens need to remember God truly is their refuge. He'll take care of them and will work all things for their good. Jeremiah 29:11 is a great verse for an Enneagram Seven. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. I hope you enjoy this interview. These two have been very important in my life, and I am so honored to hear from them today on what it is like being an Enneagram Seven. Here are Pastor Cameron Hefner and Pastor Sunshine Eddy.
How nice it'd be if we could try everything. I'm serious. Let's make a list and just begin.
Welcome to the Enneagram Type 7 for the Barnabas Project. I'm chuckling because these words are so perfect for Enneagram 7s. I love them. You love them. We all love them. We want to be them. That's what I hear. So the Type 7s, today for this episode, we have Pastor Cameron.
Hello there.
Hello. And we have Pastor Sunshine Eddy.
Hello.
Hey, friend.
Hi.
Also in the studio with me is Zach.
Hello, everybody.
He's helping host this amazing time with Type Sevens. So we're going to go into the description here.
I do want to talk about that song, though, okay. Real quick. I love that song.
I couldn't hear the song.
You couldn't hear it, Sunshine?
Oh.
I couldn't. What were the words again? I forgot.
I wish we could make how fun it would be to make a list of all the things we could ever do.
Try everything.
Try everything.
And yeah. I love that song. And I've listened to the other songs, and actually hearing that song is kind of what helped me settle into my type a little bit. Because I would listen to the other songs, and I'm like, it doesn't necessarily really do it for me. I see the beauty of it, and I appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
But then hearing the song, I was like, that feels like home. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a good song. It's Atlas Enneagram, Sleeping at Last, and that was the Type 7 song. And Type 7s, enthusiast, multitasker, wunderkind. Somebody called you a wunderkind. Do you love that? I had to look it up. I was like, what is that?
I was stuck on multitasker.
Multitasker.
Because I try, mm-hmm. but I end up just doing a lot of things poorly.
I'm doing
a lot. Instead of one thing really well, it's usually seven projects that are
Not qualifying how well you're doing. They're just saying you're doing multiple tasks at one time.
My mind's in seven places.
Right. Illuminator of possibility. I liked that one too. So Type 7s are cheerful, fun-loving, curious, bold, fast learners, joyful, adventurous, and often a renaissance person. That is true. They learned at an early age to nurture themselves through staying entertained and choosing positive emotions. They are often the first person to tell you all the ways in which your idea could and will work out. Most sevens, yes. Most sevens live with an underlying vibration of anxiety, something lingering in the back of their minds that serves as something of an internal motor. This motor pushes them to keep busy and moving so that they don't have to be fully present with the painful emotions that arise as part of being human. Negative emotions can sometimes feel like quicksand. No longer experiencing the deep satisfaction in Christ, they think they have to create new and exciting experiences to avoid feeling any discomfort. Their whole focus at this level is to escape anything that is causing them pain or boredom. They cannot tolerate being restricted or having limits placed on them, so they find ways to escape and find pleasure. This can lead to them to taking more reckless risks. The gospel comes in for the sevens when they bravely face negative emotions, feel them, and give them to God. Follow Jesus to guide and direct them in their choices and impulses, and find rest and contentment in Christ. Through this, they find the true freedom they were made for. What do you guys think of that?
I think it's funny that first of all, it's pretty much dead on. I just think it's hilarious that even as you were reading it and there's like all of these things flashing across my screen right now on my iPad because I forgot to change my setting. And I literally want to like go and check all of them right now, but I'm like forcing myself to not. And it just is like so perfect because I'm like, yep, that is my life right there.
That's good.
I was just picturing my wife shaking her head emphatically to everything you said about me.
That's
good, Cam.
But I do know, and this is one of the reasons why the Enneagram conversation has been so helpful, is because I can see it and I can like diagnose it in myself, especially those negative traits, and have learned to pursue something deeper. But I would say stuck to my own self, like in my own flesh, that is very much who I am, what you described.
Yeah, one of the things you guys didn't get to hear because I did an intro prior to us rolling into this thing, but I kind of wrote down that you guys as sevens have learned to be honest and reflective and introspective before God when everything in you has cried out to avoid negative emotions. I mean, really, to overcome that for your type is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And that's in reference to Hebrews 12:1, throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and just persevering through that, which is what I respect about a seven. Because I think on the outside, you guys, people assume you're all just happy-go-lucky and there's no problem. But on the inside, you're really battling some things. Have you found that to be true in your lives?
Yeah, I think that it's been like my life's work as an adult to figure out how to look honestly and to take the time to look at my own negative emotions. One of the things that people don't realize about a lot of sevens is we're actually comfortable with other people's negative emotions. Mm-hmm. We tend to be great at like helping others through their pain. So a lot of people don't think that they're sevens. They're like, but I'm fine with other people's pain. I'm like, yeah, but you do it as a way to numb yourself from your own.
Oh my goodness. That's good.
Yeah,
Sunshine.
So I think that I had to learn that sometimes when I was running towards crisis or other people's crisis or other people's pain, that was one of my numbing techniques to not feel and sit and own my own pain.
Got it. Well, that's a big thing to learn. Good job. That's really good. So bingo board. I have a bingo board here. I can play this with seven. Some types, like I would throw these things at them and they'd be like, I need time to process. But I know you guys are up for a game. So
we love a game.
I'm going to read these phrases and you tell me if this sounds like you or not. All the things.
Yes.
I've literally heard you say that out of your mouth, Sunshine.
I want all the things.
All the things.
I'm a little bit more lukewarm on that one.
Okay.
Okay. I like the best of the best of things.
Okay.
So it's in that realm, but it's not just like all of it. It's like if I'm going to have a food item or a drink item or whatever, like I want it to be the best of the best.
Got it.
But I want it all. I just, all of the best.
Yeah. That's our restaurant conversation, Cameron.
We've been down that road. That's why I brought up food.
Okay. I'm really into blank right now.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, yes. It's not necessarily an activity. Sometimes it's even just like, I've been researching this random thing, and I'm really into it.
Yes!
Maybe some of that's just COVID, because we can't do a lot right now. So it is just like, I've been reading articles. I got in this rabbit hole of this neurosurgeon, and now I'm reading these articles about who knows what. Yeah.
So that is my life.
Alone in public.
Down the rabbit hole at 2 in the morning.
Say that again.
Oh, I was going to say that is my life. 2 in the morning down the rabbit hole because I wanted to check the election results before I went to bed. And now I'm researching Scientology and how to escape it. That's my life.
Yes. Right, never mind. Yeah. I was going to go jump down that hole with you right now. That's what sevens are in my life. Okay. Alone in public.
Yes.
100%.
Yep. Yeah. Both of you. Mm-hmm. Buys plane tickets, figures the rest out later.
Oh, man. I would love that. Their financial burdens aside.
Sunshine?
That actually gives me a little anxiety. Yeah.
I've seen you be a little bit more... You're very studious before you buy a plane ticket. I've watched you.
If someone else buys the plane tickets, then I'll figure out the rest for them.
Mm-hmm.
But... I think I'm just cheap.
I do like to plan, but kind of it's just like wherever we're going, I'm sure it's going to be an adventure and it's going to be fun. And then once I figure out where we're going, then I'm on my phone mapping like, here's the best place we're going to do this. We're going to go do this. We're going to do this. And then I have every minute choreographed. But as far as what's the adventure, I don't know, but I'm up for it.
This leads into the next one, which is it'll work out.
Yes. For sure. For me.
Not for Sunshine, but yes for Cameron.
Not for me.
Mm-hmm. Saves tears for when they're alone in the car.
Truth.
Yes, I would say. Yes, but also like every time I preach, I get emotional. Like it just hits me in weird times. Like, so it's random because my wife, Becca, gives me a hard time. She'll like, I actually like to cry. I like that emotion. I like to be able to have that outlet. It just doesn't come supernaturally. And then all of a sudden on the stage, I'll be preaching about something I'm passionate about. And it hits me then in front of everybody.
The next one.
I only cry at inopportune times. So like when other people are crying, I'm not crying. And then when nobody else is crying, I am a basket case.
Yeah, maybe that's
every gosh darn time.
Maybe that's what's happening with me. Yeah,
I've eaten a lot of meals with both of you, so I think I might know the answer to this one. But lots of small plates.
Yeah.
100%. Yep. Mm-hmm. We went to this cool sushi place recently. Mm-hmm. Our team did, and it's like everybody shares everything, and that's a fun way. It was super fun.
Mm-hmm. Not all of us, but
now, Zach did not eat any sushi.
Zach, tell them what you ordered at the sushi place.
I got a chicken teriyaki and rice.
Watched us eat all the delicious sushi.
Wishing he was having a burger.
And in that,
you just broke my heart.
In that, all the sushi rolls were named after movies. So my first order was just picked based on the movie alone. I didn't even look at it. It was just like, I like that movie. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
That is 100% how I would go. Mm-hmm. 100%. And Cameron and I have traveled together before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And David and I have traveled with he and Becca. And I will tell you, Cam, I would travel with you guys anytime. You guys are the most fun to travel with.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking about David is a great person to travel with because he'll plan the things and then I'm just up for whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's a really fun way. Somebody else gets to structure things and then I'm just like, it's going to be an adventure one way or the other.
How about this? Plays the game. How many things can I get done in 5 minutes? Go.
Oh, no, I live that. I live that game. That's my game. That's life, baby.
I can get in that mode. But then I also get hyper focused on I can realize that I can't get them, as we talked about earlier, I can't get them all done well. So I'll get hyper focused on something.
What about this one? Yeah. Loves everyone, needs no one.
Oh, That's interesting. Except for my husband, I'm extremely needy about him. But I do. This is going to be very, very, like, super, like, I'm going to expose myself.
It's vulnerable, place. Yes.
Yeah. Is that I love everybody. I don't like everybody, and I don't appreciate everybody. And that's kind of, I have learned that that's weird or different. But yeah, and that's a genuine love. That's not like, oh, I love you with the love of Jesus. It's a genuine love for people, but I do not necessarily appreciate, there's a small handful of people that I truly appreciate.
That is 100% true for me. I love and enjoy hearing people's stories. And it's fascinating to spend time with different people with different perspectives. And then just kind of, I am fiercely independent. And even to my wife, again, she is hearing this saying, yes, because Sunshine, you mentioned you are needy towards your husband. I think that's a healthy thing, because I am so independent that I can just blow right past my wife and I relationship, and that's been hard. I've been destructive.
I like that. Yeah.
Okay, last one. I think one day I'd really like to ... Do you kind of dream about that? All the things.
Yeah, all the things. But every day it's a different dream.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
I'm not stuck on one thing, though. It's not like one day I'll, you know, every day it's something different, that one day I will.
Do you make bucket lists?
I can't find a pen, so why would I write that?
Not in, maybe in your mind.
Yeah, I don't have an active bucket list, but I do, if, you know, to fill in the blank, it's just travel, I would say. And along the way, I will get opportunities to do things that I'm like, that's a bucket list item. I gotta do that.
Okay. Let's go into the wings. So I'm going to read you two definitions of the wings, and you can use both wings in your life. So you just tell me which wing you tend to use more than the other. So the first one is type 7 wing 6, which is sometimes called the pathfinder. They're productive, cooperative, sensitive to the feelings of others, remain optimistic even in stressful situations, can think thoroughly and quickly. They value happiness and optimism, fear missing an exciting opportunity, seek satisfaction and gratification, and pursue relationships with others. And then type 7 wing 8 is the opportunist. They prioritize optimism and gratification, seek opportunity and experience, can be afraid of missing out, love the company of others, stay high energy and positive, natural self-confidence and charisma, ability to assert themselves, remain calm in situations of crisis. They're very similar.
I've done a ton of work, Enneagram work, probably in the last 2 years. And one of the most telling things about feeling more comfortable with my sevenness was learning that I had a very, very strong 8 wing. And so that 8 wing for me really made me settle into that 7 and understand that that really was who I was and who I am. And so, yeah, when you read that list, I've actually not come across that particular list of 7 wing 8, but that resonates very, very strongly for me. And because I'm not, people think that, oh, she doesn't like negative emotions, but I'm also not afraid of a fight. In fact, I tend to lean into conflict. And so maybe sometimes where there's not conflict already, that second list just 100% rings true.
I have a question for you before we move to Cameron, but have you done some work in your subtypes? The 3 subtypes that are under?
That's funny because I just picked up some stuff about subtypes.
I think those are very helpful.
On my list.
I found those to be more helpful than wings, actually, because they're kind of the instinctual place of where we go to. And I really like them. So I would look into subtypes, listener, if you're kind of questioning which number, you've figured out your number, but you're not quite sure, that's another way to figure it out. Yeah. Cameron, which wing do you think you use most often?
I am a 7 wing 6. And as I hear that description that you read, that really kind of resonated and rung it true. Before we pushed record, we were having this conversation and I see probably like 75% of the time. I'm a 7-wing 6, but there are moments, yeah. There are days when I can, there's some great attributes of an 8 that I can swing into, but mm-hmm. in general, 7-wing 6.
Got it. You got your questions ready, big guy?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We're going to come at you with some questions. The first one, as Zach's getting his list up, is...
What led you to the Enneagram?
Oh my gosh. Literally everybody around me, probably about 5 years ago, just would not shut up about it. There were so many people that I really love and admire, and was really, I really admired their own self-work, like the work they had done to get healthier and more whole. And they'd be like, Enneagram, 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 Enneagram. And finally, it just wore me down.
That's good.
Yep.
We've heard that before on the podcast.
Yeah.
What about you, Cameron?
Somewhat similar. Is I was hearing a lot about it, and we have talked about Myers-Briggs before, and that was something that mm-hmm. I was familiar with, and found that to be really helpful in team building, the Myers-Briggs. Yeah. And I had used that before, but then was hearing Enneagram, and I'd hear it even in like sermons and different podcasts I was listening to. They were going through like church series through the Enneagrams and or just making reference to it. And I was just looking actually for things to read, books to read. And that was the Road Back to You was a book that mm-hmm. was on my list. I think Becca got involved with the Enneagram first, and then it was something that we used as a tool mm-hmm. here on staff to help us know how to interact and see each other's strengths better. So that's what led me to a similar to Sunshine. Everybody just wouldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All right. How did you discover your number?
Sunshine.
Oh, this is a fun story. So a couple of years ago, I have a friend that has been a practitioner and a student of the Enneagram for probably 20 years. And he had been after me to take my test. And I took it, and I came out as a 2. And, excuse me, hairball. Okay, I came out as a two, and he looked me dead in the eyes, and he was like, well, that's because you're a woman who has lived her life in the church, and you value what 2s bring to the table. Go back and take it again. And I was like, you don't know me. You tell me who I am is who I am not. Back off. And it was actually, I really struggled. I spent a lot of time in prayer and tears, weirdly, about retyping. Mm-hmm. Because I really like what 2s contribute. Mm-hmm. And I really think that they're just like, to me, they're like the coolest, and they're the most Jesus-ish of the types in my head. Mm-hmm. And so it took a long time for me to honestly retake and go through some retyping. And so that was my journey. I had to walk away from a lot of things I was doing mm-hmm. in order to be at a quiet enough place mm-hmm. to honestly do my typing. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I cried when I read my answer. Mm-hmm. I was like, a 7? 7s are worthless.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, Sunshine. I think many people, when confronted with their number, often feel that way, where they're like kind of thrown by it a little bit emotionally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cameron, what about you?
I took one of the tests, and it got to a point where it wanted me to pay for the test. And I was like, I don't want to pay for this. So I was able to share it on Facebook, to get to the free test. And I was able to share it in a way that nobody else saw it. So it was like a secret share. So I took the test I actually took it multiple times, and I was a 7 and something else, or a 7 and something else. And just consistently 7 was in my top 3. So then I just read. Mm-hmm. I read through them and just found that resonated with me, mm-hmm. both the pros and the cons of a 7. Mm-hmm. And also looked at different in the app that I was using. It had different characters, both real and fictional, that mm-hmm. that I read through and was like, yeah, I see that. Mm-hmm. I see it.
That's mm-hmm. good.
Okay. Do you have a favorite meme about your number?
Can you describe a meme about your number?
No, because mine is not about my number, but it is a meme that I feel like just like epitomizes my number. And it's the one that says, why buy this for $19.95 when I can make it for $75 in craft supplies?
Yeah.
I feel like that sums up me and my life and who I am. Yeah.
She's not wrong. Actually,
and my daughter, I need to give credit. My daughter, December, actually sent me that meme and she was like, and you.
Shout out to Dee. She is correct. Cameron, what about you?
Well, there's a few. One I connected with way before I saw it as a meme. It was a moment in Friends where mm-hmm. Phoebe, I believe it's Phoebe's dating a psychologist who is like, he's like shrinking everyone. He's analyzing everyone. Yeah. And he calls out Chandler and says, oh, Chandler, you're so funny. I'd hate to be around when the laughter stops. And I was like, oh, that's yes, dark. And yes. But then searching for a meme, I found a meme of Arrested Development, the TV show, yeah. Arrested Development, which just that right there, Arrested Development, is a seven thing. But anyway, there's a woman talking to a doctor and the doctor says, he's come out of surgery and she says, but you said he was going to be all right. And the doctor says, yes, he lost his left hand, so he's going to be all right. And I thought that's really funny because on a couple levels, first of all, it's just blind optimism, but it's also a joke at the wrong time, which, yes.
You found yourself in that position, have you?
Oh my gosh. Okay. That is 100% me, Cameron. I just, every time I feel a little weird when I do and say stuff like that. And then people are like, oh, and then I think, okay, am I a sociopath? Is there something wrong with me? And I'm
like, I just saw something funny in the darkness. So I made a joke about it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, that doesn't make you feel better?
No. What do you love about being your number?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one. I think that what I like about having discovered my number is that certain things that I say and do no longer feel like... there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I do kind of enjoy that I can kind of, like I can have fun in a cardboard box. I do really enjoy being able to make almost anything fun and have a good time about almost anything.
I like that about you too. Mm-hmm. What about you, Cameron?
I would say it has to be learned in Jesus because some of the good things, quote unquote, good things about being a seven outside of Jesus are, like I mentioned earlier, very like flesh driven and are avoiding things. But with Jesus, the ability to see his hand in things, to see the good in things, even in like when we're facing struggles or facing trials, I found that it might be easier for me to see Jesus at work in it than others. And just that spirit of adventure that I think God is desiring to lead us all on, it's fun. And I think it served me well as a youth pastor for sure.
But also as a lead pastor, I've seen you do that for the staff and as you're leading our church for sure. Both of those things.
Yep. What's an assumption people make about your number that drives you crazy?
Oh, everybody assumes that we're like notoriously flaky, that we're not responsible. And the other thing that bothers me is when people assume that we're always up.
Right.
That we don't deal with depression or sadness. In fact, a lot of sevens deal with chronic depression because they're never really able to care for that side of their of who they are as a person.
That was the first one that I thought of, is just kind of assuming that a seven's always on. That they're kind of like, and you mentioned one of the people that I looked up that I saw as a seven was Robin Williams, who just like was always on. He was always going. He was always funny, but there was some other things going on internally. And I think that's another part of it, is that that assumption that we're always on, or we're always an extrovert, which I am not. So I need moments to be off and moments to, for my health. Mm-hmm. And that's part of learning who I am, is for my health, I need to be tuning into the emotions that are happening below the surface. Otherwise, I'm just running from them all the time. So I think the thought that we're always on and that we don't have the ability to tune into those other emotions is something that can be slapped onto a seven that I don't think is necessarily true for me.
Right.
Where is an area you want to grow in?
All of them.
All the things.
All the things.
All the things. I will tell you, the area that I have been working on right now is, so I've been reading the book Mindsets.
Okay.
If you haven't read. But this concept of fixed mindsets versus growth mindsets. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of me attempting to not be a seven, me attempting to live beyond what I assumed were stereotypes about myself or who I was, that led me down a road of more fixed mindsets. I thought that if I had this rigidity in my life, that was better and healthier. Mm. And so I've been learning how to stay more flexible in the way that my mindset is, and more elastic in that, and more growth oriented. Mm. And so that's been a journey that I'm currently on right now.
Mm-hmm. That's good, son. How about you, Cam?
I kind of alluded to it earlier, but I have a real fierce, independent thing in me. And that's really valued in our culture, that independence. Yeah. And like, you can do it on your own. You can accomplish things. Mm. And I have seen that be really destructive. Mm. So I think I've seen some health in it, but I want to continue to grow in that, where it's like being able to lean on other people and lean on the gifts that are other people in this, looking at the Enneagram, seeing different people for who they are and valuing them and inviting them in versus, I can just go do it on my own. And that leaves people in my wake sometimes and also just devalues people, which I don't necessarily do intentionally. I just get stuck in my head and go.
Sure.
So learning to get out of my head and be as collaborative as possible, which is something that I see God has done, but I want to see more in it in me.
I have a question before we go to the next one. What helps you guys get out of your head? What is helpful to recenter? Because, you know, we're body, mind, spirit, and sometimes if you're focused in your head, what do you do personally to get out of your head?
For me, it's about actually doing something physical. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to remind myself of that physical part of who I am. So whether it's working out or whatever, but I actually doing something actually physical helps me immensely.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah, I would say the same, but I would kind of frame it as just like regimented escape. Mm-hmm. So, because I for sure get stuck in my head, and one thing that a seven can do in stress is they lean towards a number one, which is that inner critic that is analyzing and overanalyzing. So I give myself opportunity to escape, but with structure, because a seven can stay in escape. So it's kind of like, and I've had this conversation with some youth before about, like, it's okay to escape. It's okay to play video games. It's okay to go to a movie, but you can't live at the movie theater. Mm-hmm. That can't be where you spend your life. Mm-hmm. So I give myself I'm going to watch Netflix, or I'm going to go ride my bike, or go play with the girls, or, have a complete distraction, but I can't stay in an escape mode.
Does that resonate with you, Sunshine?
That's so good. Yeah, that's Cameron. That's a great way to put it, is because there is an element of escape that is actually necessary for our personalities, but not allowing it to be the thing that controls us or the thing that is the driving force in our lives. And I find that I have to constantly be asking myself, am I living for the escape?
Yeah. Am I running from something?
Even when I've regimented or I've set aside, like, okay, tonight I get to, you know, watch 4 episodes of The Great British Bake Off.
Well, David in the background is making you something from the Great British Baking Show.
You better be.
Seems good.
But am I living for that moment?
Sure.
Is everything in that day like, I just have to get through this so I can get to that? Mm-hmm. And I have to make myself be super present. Being that forced presence is huge for me.
Mm, that's good.
Like, I have to be present. Mm-hmm. Because it's not a natural for me. Mm-hmm.
All right. How has God used the Enneagram to change you?
All the ways. So when I first started exploring the Enneagram, I actually learned about all the people in my life first and read everything about the types of the people who are in my life, probably a way of avoiding my own stuff. But what I have loved about it is it has helped me love and honor them as people in really specific ways. Mm-hmm. And to communicate better. And like, I make my staff that works for me, I make them all take the Enneagram. I make them take the $12 one. I pay for it myself. The rule is I'll pay for the test if they'll share their number with me. And I love being able to communicate better with my staff and love them better and to help them grow better because I know their number and because I'm seeing where they are on their journey.
Perfect. Good. What about you, Cam?
Yeah, I would say the same. That idea that we talked about earlier about the just collaborative approach where it isn't that I have that drive in me that I could just go do something, but is that really what's best for what I'm called to do? Mm-hmm. Is that really what's best for me? Is that really what's best for the people around me? So that kind of like, hey, let's get in on this together and seeing the strengths and knowing how to interact with different numbers. That app that I used had that
right
in it where you could look at a 7 and a 2. How could you interact? What are some potential conflicts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was really helpful. It's helped me immensely in my relationship with my wife because I need her in my life. Mm-hmm. like for real. Like, I need her balance in my life and she is a blessing. And that's obviously like the deepest relationship that I would have. Mm-hmm. But in all relationships, there's a level of depth that I can now go to and I'm okay going to.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that about going through this process too.
All right. If you could choose another type to be for a day, what number would you choose?
I kind of wish, like, I have these weird moments where I wish I was a 4. Uh-huh. because I think that they're like cooler than the rest of us. I think that they're like, I idolized that like moody artist type. Mm-hmm. And as an artist, I was never that kind of artist. And I kind of am sad that I'm not, but I wish I, you know, like enjoyed long walks in the rain at moon, you know, in Paris. And I feel like 4s, that's what they do. I don't know. I could be wrong.
What about you, Cam?
It's kind of funny. And this is since I have the questions in front of me and I was in on another interview, I kind of know where one of these questions is going. And it's kind of the same answer. In this COVID season, I'm having to repace my life. Mm. And I see that as something that a 4 and a 9 can be really good at. Yeah. They have a different pace than me. And I appreciate that and am learning that in COVID because I can't just go. That I need to fours can see beauty in even the mundane things and the still things, and 9 have peace in moments that are still and quiet. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning that and really value that. So I would say that I really appreciate. I love being a 7. and typically, typically 7s are like people that are 7s love being 7s. But I definitely see the value, and if I can glean that from them around me, then that helps me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting relationship between a 7 and a 4, because they can really complement each other as friends, or if you're in a relationship in a marriage scenario. Because it's kind of like the movie Inside Out, where you have sadness and you have joy.
Right.
And then you when they're both working together, you have complete ideas, right?
Yeah.
So that idea of balance between the two of you.
Yeah. It's kind of, so I've looked back in my life and I see moments where I was very much like a four, and I feel, and it's like I was the romantic and I loved to like write songs and write poems, and I'd give them to my middle school girlfriend. I think my wife wishes that I feel like I used up all of that before I was supposed to. And now I'm just like, and maybe it's even because I got hurt in some of those relationships that I have suppressed that. And now I'm that fiercely independent kind of person. But I see the gifts in it and I love it. And I think my wife would love it if I could tap back into that as well.
She's like listening right now going, yes,
he's never done that for me.
Right.
What has been bringing you life during this COVID season?
Okay. So I actually, at work, so I work at a university, I oversee student employees, and this is my second year in that role. And last year, of course, I was trying to learn the job, and I was, it was frantic and hectic and chaos in that role. And I felt like I was drowning more than I was swimming. But this year, the campus is open. Weirdly, we have a limited number of students living on campus, attending classes in person. And so we're using this season to really fine tune and inspect our processes, our procedures, even our recipes we're reworking. We're taking the opportunities to really grow as an organization and as so every week my students and I are coming up with questions to ask ourselves and to dig into how we do things and why we do things and what we can do better. And I am like, I thought I was going to be bored to tears this year. I was super dreading going back to school. College students are not known for not sharing germs. I was terrified. But I have actually been thriving in that place this year because we're getting to do all of these things that you never get the time to do. And so that's bringing me all the life.
What about you, Kim?
I got to make things better, people.
Well, I alluded to it a little bit earlier too, with just learning a new pace. That's been really important for me. But also same as you, Sunshine, just different. There is nothing that can be done the way it used to be done. So we are creating and exploring, and that adventure, like, let's just try it and see how this goes, is the season that we're in right now. And I don't know if it's just tailor-made for sevens or if everybody is just kind of functioning in that way, but I feel like released in a lot of ways that there's been some things that were in my life, but also just in life period that were idolized, and some of those idols got tore down in this season. So we're relearning how to do some things, and things that we've just... Well, we do it this way because we've done it this way. those things are crumbling.
Yeah.
So we're all kind of in this creative mode where it's like, okay, so how do we, first, why did we do it that way? And how can we do it now? Are we called to do it now? Or is it something else entirely? And that's been really fun. But that has to be matched with a new pace.
Sure.
Otherwise I will just do and go and then I will... Yeah. Burnout, and I've experienced that in this season, seasons of burnout, even just for like a few days where I'm like, wow, I'm toast. And I need to reset my pace. And that's good. I've been learning that.
Well, and then I've realized that like, I was just tired for 25 years. Like that pace of life that I, you know, you feel required to live up to. And I think that part of this has to do with being a seven. I think sevens, the amount of energy they extend in those moments because they do it with such gusto, that's exhausting. And I didn't realize I had just been tired for 25 years. And so like learning what deep rest feels like and learning what contemplation looks like has been good.
To go back to a question about assumptions that are made about sevens, is that's one of them for me, that you can, I can do something and for some people it might look easy or effortless, but internally There's a lot of energy that is exuded to see that happen. And also being an introvert, it's like, I can do the social thing. I'm a seven, so I like the adventure. I like to go, but it is draining to me a lot of the time when it's people, when it's socially oriented. So, and that isn't to say that life has been so much like it's, I think, check on your introvert friends during COVID as well. That doesn't mean they're doing super well just because they're introvert. But there has been some moments of rest that I didn't necessarily get otherwise.
Is a seven attached line wise to a five in addition to a one?
So our in times of health, we move towards a five. And that has been really good to know that is when I become the investigator, when I become I've got to go deep into that subject and I've got to know all the themes that's part of who I am. And that's part of the health of me, but also that rhythm of a five also can.
And just being conscious, conscious of your energy levels and expending that. As you were talking, Cameron, that's why I was just like, that sounds like something Mike would say.
Yeah.
And I think that's in a place of health for a seven.
Yeah. And that's been a really interesting thing as I learn sevens, but also learn all the numbers. Pretty much every number, I'm like, ooh, I can do that. And I don't know if that's a seven thing, because we just go and do lots of things that we find lots of different numbers in us, or that's just a part of being a human.
I think that's the beauty.
You're lots of things.
Yeah. I think that's the beauty about the Enneagram is that you're learning different numbers, is that you're not locked in. Like you can change. Right. And that's the whole point of this.
Life is much more nuanced than the rigidity of a number system. But
what I also enjoy about discovering other numbers is the things that lead them to hell. Mm-hmm. Like if it's a negative, that I can learn from that and I can glean from that.
Yeah.
And I can also move towards health.
Yeah. And also, you know, your lions, you can use the good parts of being a one, which is what, when you're talking about looking at systems and how systems can work more efficiently and more perfectly and how fun that is for you. That's that's definitely a one type of thing to think about.
Yeah.
And the negative parts of five as well, but there's like, you can use all of those things as well. So, and grow in those areas. Yeah. Zach, you had a question?
All right. This is the last question I have. Is there a specific scripture that Holy Spirit is using right now to speak to your heart?
There's a scripture that I've been living in. And I don't even know if I talked about this last time I was on the podcast, so tell me if this is old news to y'all.
Say it again.
But in Psalm, I know we're going to be shocked that Sunshine's going to pick an Old Testament. in Psalm 78, it's actually talking about King David. And it says, it's verse 72, and it says, "And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands he led them." And the thing that I feel like the Holy Spirit has just been talking to me so much about over the past probably 2 years on this particular thing is that the previous verses talks about God calling David. So the call on David's life, that was God's doing. But it says that he shepherded them with integrity of heart and skillful hands. And so this concept of like, where is my heart and where is my integrity and where is... like, am I keeping those things healthy before the Lord? And then the second part is skillful hands. And that to me is, I did a lot of study on those words and that thing of like, this is a developing skill, that this is a learned behavior, that this was something he put his hand to, kept his hand to, and worked towards. And so just that concept of, like our calling and our who we're created to be, that part is 100% God's jam. Like I don't decide who I'm created to be. What I do get to participate in and do, what that I'm invited to is how I tend to my heart and my attitudes and my commitment to growing.
That's good. The commitment part. And because part of that, what I hear you saying is that skillful hand takes time and commitment to stay in it.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a healthy seven has the ability to do that. Right?
Yeah, and I think that's one of those stereotypes is that sevens don't stick with things long enough. Mm-hmm. And that's because we have other important things to do.
Right.
But, yeah, so I just really that concept of digging into that skillfulness.
Yeah.
Well, a verse that has meant a lot to me for a long time is John 10:10. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give you life and life to the full. And that feels like a very seven verse.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I have probably used it to justify some behavior that was just like, I'm just going to have a full life. Let's go. But in kind of trying to find a balance in this and realizing that God is a God of balance, that he doesn't want just go, that there's more to it. The Psalms also have been really life-giving to me because there's a pattern to every Psalm where there's like some real lamenting and real complaining and real like emotional, like this sucks and I'm going to talk to you about it, God. And then I'm going to choose to celebrate and then I'm going to choose to worship you. And you see that in just about every Psalm, but one of the Psalms that I love, I'm not going to read all of it, but it's Psalms 37. And in verse 7, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who do evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. And obviously, be patient for him is kind of what you were just talking about too. There's a time, there is a journey, and it's not all fast and it's not all quick success. It's slow, and God is doing a mighty work. Be patient and don't give in to the temptations of the world, which might be anger or wrath, but be patient in the Lord. Wait for him.
That's good. So one last question that you didn't have on your paper, just wanted to throw this out here, sevens. You'll roll with me. If the listener out here is thinking they might be a seven, what kind of words of advice, what would you tell somebody listening and thinking about being a seven?
I would say you're not a caricature.
Yeah,
that's good. You're a person.
Mm-hmm.
You are not two-dimensional. You have depth and you have breadth and you don't have to buy into the lie that sevens are only fluffy or that they're only shallow or that they're only fun. And so therefore, don't reject all of the awesomeness that you are gifted with and woven into your nature because you're afraid of being a caricature.
That's good. That's good, son. What about you, Cameron?
I would say before you jump on to say, I'm a seven, first of all, know that it's not all fun and games all the time.
Right.
There is depth to it and there's a lot going on in a seven's head. And it's not always good. So look at a seven, look at his strengths and weaknesses, but also look at all the other numbers and allow Jesus to speak to you about your identity and your gifts. And see how not necessarily what number you initially want to be or associate with, but really just spend some time before the Lord and say, God, who did you make me to be? And and how can you use my gifts to serve the church, serve his people, and then go from there.
That's awesome. Well, thank you two for this interview. I appreciate you guys. And not shockingly, we did this last minute. So thank you so much.
Not shocking at all.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that too. And listener, we just hope that you have enjoyed this ride with us. Tune in next time as we have some Enneagram 8s, the fierce people that we love. I love those 8s.
Yeah.
Right?
Gonna have to turn down my headphones for that one.
It's going to be good. And we hope you turn in next time, and thanks and God bless.
I feel hope deep in my bones. Tomorrow will be beautiful.
you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to like and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com, lg4square.com, and you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless.